So from Matthew 9, the key verse that we kind of want to start with and end up back on and talk a little bit about tonight and meditate on is that verse right toward the end of what we read tonight. Verse 13, Jesus tells these folks who are gathered, "Go and learn what this means." And it's in quotation marks. "I desire mercy, not sacrifice." I desire mercy, not sacrifice. It's kind of interesting because what's going on here is being presented to us in the gospel account written by Matthew. And this little story that we just heard is Matthew's calling. And listen, Matthew's, we call him Saint Matthew at this point in time. Matthew's no saint. Matthew's not a nice guy. Matthew is a tax collector. And so to put that in historical context from 2,000 years ago, a tax collector amongst the Jewish folks is a Jewish person, but they're hated by the Jews because they have basically, I guess you could say they've turned their back on their own people. And they've become an instrument of the Roman government. And the Roman government was extremely oppressive to the Jewish people. And they wanted their money. And the way they would go about getting their money, their taxes, is through these tax collectors. But the Romans weren't going to waste their own time putting their own people out into the fields and into the cities and into the villages and say, "Hey, you owe money to the government. Give to Caesar what is Caesar's." No, they would find folks who would be complicit with them amongst the Jewish people. And those people, again, they weren't very well liked. Part of the reason they weren't very well liked is because it was a tough job. And in order to make a living at it, what you had to do was actually add a little something. So whatever the amount was that you're supposed to be collecting that you're handing over to Caesar, that you're getting from family A, in order for you to make your living as a tax collector, you've got to add a little something to that. Well, when there's no one really ruling over you to decide how you go about doing that, you can see how easy it would be for corruption to sneak in. And that's why tax collectors in the city were pretty much the despised class of people that the shepherds out in the country were. They were just looked upon as less thans. They were ne'er-do-wells. What's unfortunate, I guess, if you fast forward 2,000 years, is I'm not sure people affiliated with taxes today and government today have a whole much better sort of relationship with the people. I don't know. We'll leave that for a different kind of commentary. But that's who Matthew is. And so by definition, Matthew would be a sinner because he's turning on his own people. And this is who Jesus comes up to, and he says two words: follow me. And Matthew doesn't think about it, or at least you got to remember Matthew's telling us the story here. The way the story's told to us, Matthew doesn't think about it. He doesn't turn to Jesus and say, "You know, I'm going to need a little time to think and pray on that. Let me get back to you." He got up and he followed Jesus. And he had Jesus over to the house and he had dinner with Jesus. And apparently there were other sinners there as well. There's other tax collectors there, according to the gospel account. And the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the Jews, they take note of this. And of course, they're not fans of Jesus. They're not fans of Jesus' message. And so they, in their attempt to sort of go against Jesus, go against his teachings, upset those who are following him, they point out the obvious. You call this guy teacher. You call this guy rabbi. You think he's holy, yet he's hanging out with all these sinners. This is who he's eating with. And remember, in the context 2,000 years ago of Jewish culture, when you sat down to eat with somebody, that was quite a big expression of your faith in who they were. You weren't going to sit down and eat with ne'er-do-wells. But this is exactly what Jesus does. Jesus finds himself amongst the sinners. And he even says, "I've not come to call the righteous," which ought to be pretty good news for us, unless, of course, we're so self-righteous that we think we don't need a Savior. But he says it, "I've not come to call the righteous. I've come for the sinners." But back to those words again. He says, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. And it's a puzzling statement. At least it was for me. What does Jesus mean by that? One of the things I like to do when I come across something that I have questions about is I'll go research it by looking, even before I read commentaries from, you know, quote-unquote great biblical scholars. I like to look at it in different biblical translations to see if one version of the Bible says it any slightly differently that might give me a clue. And when I found, this is the NIV, of course, what we're using in church, I like to go look at the NLT because sometimes it sort of simplifies things. And the quote that Jesus gives in the New Living Translation is, I want you to show mercy, not offer sacrifices. I want you to show mercy and not offer sacrifices. And I think that draws a really nice comparison between this audience that's there. These so-called sinners, these ne'er-do-wells, these unrighteous people, and then these self-declared righteous religious people who are the Pharisees. Remember, they're part of that ruling class of the religious. And some of them would be parts of the temple worship. And if they were a priest in the temple, that was their job, was it not, to go into the temple and to offer sacrifices on behalf of the people. But Jesus is giving a very clear directive there. I want you to offer mercy, not sacrifices. When you look at this, another source I like to go to is what's called Young's Literal Translation. You might have heard me say this before. Young was a scholar back in the 19th century, and his attempt was to take the original languages of the Bible and to translate them to English, but to not do so necessarily to try and perfect the way it gets presented so that it sounds beautiful and makes perfect sense in our current language. That's kind of what the New Living Translation is all about, right? What Young wanted to do was just a word-for-word translation. And so sometimes it's hard to read because when you do word-for-word, it just doesn't sound real pretty, particularly if you're moving from ancient Greek or from the Hebrew and such. But when you read that verse, Matthew 9:13 in Young's Literal Translation, Jesus' quote comes out like this: kindness I will and not sacrifice. Now, the I will there is not like I will do this. It's suggesting what his will is for folks. Kindness, in other words, kindness is what I will, Jesus. This is what I want from you, not sacrifice. So again, it's an interesting sort of phenomenon for us as Christians that we're called to offer mercy and not sacrifice. And if you think about that, it's one of those verses you don't hear preached a lot in church. I don't think it necessarily pops up in the Sunday lectionary, and that could be one of the reasons why. But I also think it's hard for us as Christians to buy into that message, that what Jesus wants from us is to offer mercy to others rather than sacrifices, even sacrifices to God. But if you think about it, it makes perfect sense in Christian theology. That is what we're called to do. When Jesus says to the Pharisees that, you know, in answer to what is the greatest of the commandments, and he boils the entire law down to two points: love God, love your neighbor, and you can boil that down to one point, love, then it really kind of gets in our face as to what we're called to do. It doesn't say anything in that about sacrifice to God. Love is what it's about. And love and mercy are much more closely related than love and sacrifice. And so loving our neighbors ourselves can be pretty difficult. Turning the other cheek can be real difficult because most of us have a little bit of a fighting streak in us and we don't want to turn the other cheek. I don't want to speak to everybody in the room, but those folks who are Irish, Mr. Stan, might know a little something about it's hard to turn the other cheek. The fighting Irish, right? Turning the other cheek, that's a command of Jesus. It's a hard thing to do, but what is it in the process of turning up that's actually showing mercy, right? Praying for our enemies. What an odd thing. I mean, it's so counterintuitive, but it still is what Jesus calls us to. Why? Because it's an act of mercy to pray for those who persecute us, to pray for our enemies. And think about this, even in our communion liturgy, and I want you to notice it tonight when we go through it. The words in the communion liturgy tell us what we're to do. It says that we're to offer a sacrifice, but it's not a sacrifice of a dove. It's not a sacrifice of the blood of bulls or goats. It's not a sacrifice of financial offering. It's a sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Mercy, praise, and thanksgiving. I think that kind of summarizes what our discipline is that we're called to as Christians, that we're to be merciful, and that when we do make sacrifices, they're sacrifices to God that are the sacrifice of praise and the sacrifice of counting our blessings and recognizing how much we have to be thankful for because of the finished work of Christ on the cross. Because ultimately, that's where the real sacrifice rests. It's not in what we can give up. It's the perfect sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross at Calvary when he made that sacrifice, an atoning sacrifice for our sins. And I think that's why we hear tonight from the author of Hebrews when he says, "Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence." We can approach the throne of God, his throne of grace, with confidence. Why? So that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. All the grace we need is found at the mercy seat of God our Father in heaven. It's been gifted to us. We become co-heirs in that redemption and that salvation and that gift. And we do so not by anything that we could do on our own, not by anything that we could sacrifice. We do so because of what Jesus sacrificed for us. And that's why we're called to love our neighbor, to turn the other cheek. That's why we're called to love God. That's why we're called to acts of mercy, not acts of sacrifice. That's the old system, the sacrificial system. The sacrifice has been done for us. Our job is to accept it. And when we do that, our job is then to answer Jesus' call to be merciful, and to now turn our sacrifices into sacrifices of praise and thanksgiving. And if you're willing to at least try that and pray to God to move in your life to show you how best to do that, let me hear you say amen. Amen. Amen.